Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Thursday, September 21st, week three, starting tonight. And on the podcast today, of course, we will talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups for you DFS heads out there. But I also want to start things today with, a humongous trade, Cam Akers. Not a humongous trade, but we should at least put that into context. So that's what we will do for you here on the podcast today. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about Cam Akers. The trade compensation to me was extremely comical. It's like that was the best the Rams could do. They essentially swapped a 7th round for a 6th round in 2026. I was like, yeah, we'll give you, I don't know, you want a 7th rounder in like 2045, and sure, we'll take it. That should tell us something first and foremost. Because the immediate reaction from a lot of fantasy players was actually pretty darn similar to the Kareem Hunt reaction, even though with Kareem Hunt, not only did the article, Mary Kay Cabot's article at Cleveland.com, overtly say he's a complimentary piece to Jerome Ford. Not only does the contract show us that, but the darn head coach himself, Kevin Stefanski, said Jerome is the lead back. And I'm fairly certain Jerome is not Kevin Stefanski's nickname for Kareem Hunt. So the mind goes somewhere that isn't the reality. And that happened with Cam Akers as well. I realize Alexander Mattison hasn't done particularly well. You know how? Because he fell to me in round 7 of one of my home leagues, and I've started him each of the last 2 weeks. But everything needs context. He hasn't performed well. Yes. Who did he face? Oh, Tampa in week 1. One of the best run defenses in the league over the last half decade. And then in week 2, Philadelphia. Not a bad defense either. I don't think we can make broad sweeping conclusions that Alexander Mattison sucks after just 2 weeks of fantasy football, of NFL football. More likely what we have here is, there's two things. First and foremost, the O'Connell offense isn't very different from the McVay offense because, it's derived from the McVay offense. So Cam Akers can step in like Kareem Hunt without really having to learn the playbook. Remember, like last year, Christian McCaffrey going from Carolina to San Francisco, that was pretty dramatic for McCaffrey. He had a lot of learning to do, and now we're seeing the 49ers really reap the rewards with McCaffrey fully integrated into that playbook, right? Well, you don't have to worry about that if you're trading for a guy who knows your playbook. Now, in this instance, why would the Minnesota Vikings trade for Cam Akers? Do they truly believe that this guy who, especially post-injury, has not been a particularly effective back, do they really believe that he's the spark that they need over Alexander Mattison? I highly doubt that. In fact, I do think the depth chart tells us everything we need to know. Alexander Mattison is there. They placed their chips on him. They paid him. And they've banged that drum really from basically all offseason from when they moved on from Dalvin Cook. Now, 2 games is not going to move them off of that. That's not the way things work in the NFL. And again, I don't think it's been as bad as people are making it out to be. The fantasy performances weren't good. He faced 2 very good defenses, and the coaching staff is well aware of that. But let's look at the depth chart beyond Alexander Mattison. You have Ty Chandler, who is ill-suited. Like, if Mattison went down, they are screwed with just Ty Chandler and Miles Gaskin. Kenny Wongwu is on injured reserve, so at some point he'll come back. But Ty Chandler, I mean, obviously he's done a whole lot of nothing this season as well. But, he just doesn't profile as that type of back. More of a passing down back at 5'11", 204. More of a passing down back. Miles Gaskin, okay, another undersized guy. I mean, you have not much there in terms of size. Cam Akers will at least give you a little bit more bulk. So if Alexander Mattison went down, Cam Akers slides in as an early down option like he did with McVay's offense. And then you have, you got a guy who can contribute in passing downs with Ty Chandler with a little bit of Miles. And Miles Gaskin may not stay on the roster. We'll see what they end up doing with him. But to me, it's filling a depth need on the dirt cheap, like dirt cheap, as opposed to bringing in a guy to compete with Alexander Mattison. Now, am I right? Do I know the future? Did I call Miss Cleo before giving you this analysis? I don't know the future. But I do cover this league, and I have seen a lot of movement via trades and guys getting cut and then added elsewhere and signed and blah, blah, blah. And I know that very frequently the fantasy reaction is an overreaction. And oftentimes there's a much simpler answer at play. The simpler answer here is they had no depth on the depth chart, and they added some depth on the cheap for a guy who was basically going to get cut anyway. The Rams were going to cut him if they didn't find a trade partner. And they got nothing for him. On the trade value chart, they got nothing for him. So that should tell us everything we need to know. I'm not picking up Cam Akers. If I have Alexander Mattison, I DGAF, okay? I don't care. I don't care. I'm rolling with Alexander Mattison still. And the matchup gets a lot better this week. Speaking of matchups, let's dive into wide receiver cornerback matchups for the week. Remember, this is for DFS people. This is not for season-long fantasy people. The dynamic changes when you add in salaries, when you add in ownership, when you add in stacking, trying to win a GPP. All of that stuff changes our dynamic. So don't use this for season-long fantasy football. All right. Matchup upgrades. Let's start with that game. The Chargers and Minnesota Vikings. The over-under in this one, I think, is about 237.5. It's pretty high. Now, last I checked, it's 54.5. But you should get a lot of points here. The Chargers are a team who makes losing, even though their offense scores 30-plus points, they make it look like an art. They can give up a lot of points. So I like both sides of this one, but I especially like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Both coming off of 8-catch outings last week. Now, of course, the numbers were slightly better for Keenan Allen, but I honestly want to get pieces of both of them here, and I don't really think there's a problem with a double stack. Like, if you go in and you go Justin Herbert and these guys, I mean, granted, you're going to have to find some places to save some dough, but it looks like there are plenty of those places this week. So, you know, I want to take advantage of a Caleb Evans. He's been in tight coverage on just 15% of his targeted routes. That's on the perimeter in the slot. Josh Metellus, he's seeing 12.5 air yards per target. Now, whatever, right? Air yards. Well, I will tell you this. For a slot corner, that is an extremely high number, and that bodes very well for Keenan Allen. How about this? Puka Nacua. The saga continues, baby. I am not going to question this week. 35 targets so far this season, which, that's a lot. I just had to check my notes. That is a lot, and he's going to see Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton hasn't been heavily targeted so far this season. He will be in this game, but wideouts have at least a step of separation on 60% of targeted routes versus Mike Hilton, so they can get open against him. Also like CeeDee Lamb a lot this season. Jalen Thompson mans the slot for the Arizona Cardinals. He's allowed 7 catches on 8 targets. He has only one contested target as well, and that ball was caught. Lamb should go off in this one. If Amon-Ra St. Brown is good to go, I do like him as an upgrade this week as well. The part of the upgrade formula that I use at FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, deals with the skill level of the player. So obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown makes out there, but you can be a skilled player like Tyreek Hill and have a bad matchup, which I'm going to talk about. And, you know, you're mid-pack in terms of matchup rating. Like, you're not going to be at 0, but you're certainly not up at 100. St. Brown, though, the skill level helps. It also helps that he's going to face a lot of D. Alford. He's already allowed 2 touchdowns in his coverage this season. I like Stephon Diggs a lot. As a DFS play, he should see plenty of Emmanuel Forbes. And Washington fans, I do think Emmanuel Forbes is going to be a good pro. I really do. He's got the athletic traits, you know, obviously first-round pick this year. But rookie corners get picked on, and he's allowing 18.8 yards per catch so far this season. So some big plays there. I like Zay Flowers against Indianapolis. I just like Zay Flowers in general, but How about this? The Colts secondary very much struggling this season. They are allowing a 66% catch rate, 12.4 yards per catch, 3 receiving touchdowns already allowed just by that secondary this season. That's good news for Zay Flowers. How about Drake London? Got off the schneid last week, and I like it this week. Against Detroit, Jerry Jacobs has allowed 12 catches on 14 targets with tight coverage on just 7% of his routes, his targeted routes. So that's pretty good for Drake London. All right, moving to the downgrades. I mentioned Tyreek Hill. Let's just get into it at the top. As of right now, Jalen Waddle did not practice today. He is in concussion protocol. When you do not practice that second practice of the week, you don't get to at least limited, your chances of suiting up are a lot lower. And I would not be optimistic that he suits up this week. So that makes things even more challenging for Hill, because if you have the backup, well, not the backups in, but you're not running with Jalen Waddle out there, it's pretty obvious they're going to put Pat Surtain on Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, Surtain has been really, really good this season. He has allowed 5 catches on 8 targets, but only 33 yards. It's a really, really tough spot. I would love it if Waddle was playing here, because you'd see Damari Mathis, who has been one of the worst corners in the league so far this season, but that doesn't seem like it's likely to happen. So we're downgrading Hill. If I haven't been season long, I don't care. I'm playing him, but in DFS, I'm fading him at this price point. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Robert Woods. They're all facing Jacksonville because they're all on the same team. Jacksonville's been pretty good in the secondary, man. They have. Last week, pretty impressive against Patrick Mahomes. They so far have 2 picks at 8 pass breakups across the entire secondary. They're seeing just 7.3 air yards per target, which is a low number. I really like Rayshon Jenkins so far this season. He's allowing a 50% catch rate. He has seen 16 targets, but doing a nice job here. Overall, I know people are going to look to last week, especially with Collins and Dell, and maybe want to force them into lineups. I actually think it might be wise to fade them this week, given the matchup. Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, they are facing the Jets. So, need I explain this one? Sauce Gardner is awesome. DJ Reed is really good. Like, Sauce Gardner so far, 7.8 yards per catch. DJ Reed, tight coverage on 36% of his targeted routes. That's really high. Like, I know you might think, well, it doesn't sound that high, right, out of 100%. No, that's a high number. That's a really high number. So the secondary is as advertised. I don't want to get into it here with Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne. Plus, I do think this is going to be one of those games. Like, Belichick against the Jets, he always wants to throttle the Jets. But it's going to be one of those games where I could see it being a little knockdown. Drag out, I could see a lot of both Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. The Jets' defense is good, but they could wear them down if their offense can't stay on the field. Romeo Doubs versus New Orleans. So Christian Watson may or may not be back this week. We don't know yet. If he is not back, I do expect Marshawn Lattimore to shadow Romeo Doubs. Marshawn Lattimore has been the best corner in football so far this season. Now it's only 2 games. But listen to this. This is like, I don't think I've ever seen a stat like this. So he has seen 10 targets. He's allowed 3 catches. I've seen stats like that. But on the other 7 targets, he has 2 interceptions and 5 pass breakups. In other words, all of them he's made a play on. That's unfathomable, astounding. That is awesome. He already has 5 PBUs on the season and 2 picks through 2 games. Those are just silly numbers right there. He is playing excellent football. This is like vintage Marshawn Lattimore, and I don't want to F with this matchup at all. Don't want to mess with Dallas for Marquise Brown. I mentioned, Marshawn Lattimore. You know another guy who's been in that conversation of one of the best corners to start the season? Trayvon Diggs. He's allowed 3 catches for 31 yards through the first 2 games. He has been very, very impressive. In fact, opposing offenses are not going after Diggs. They're going after Stephon Gilmore. And Brown's going to move around the formation. But I just don't want to mess with this matchup whatsoever. It's going to be a challenging one. I'd much rather be on the other side of this one, like I said, with CeeDee Lamb. Dallas should have no problem moving the football. And this one could get out of hand quickly, like we saw with Dallas in week one. But I don't have any confidence in Joshua Dobbs whatsoever. All right, so that ties a bow on wide receiver cornerback. Tomorrow, of course, we'll break down the matchups for you on the podcast. And remember, when it comes to Akers, I just am not going to take the cheese. I know people recognize his name. What happened, too, by the way? How did people go from last year absolutely hating Cam Akers for fantasy purposes to this year kind of loving him? I'm not following the logic, but just because he's in Minnesota doesn't really salvage his fantasy value. I would avoid Cam Akers. All right, FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com. Go check them out. And if you want to get behind the paywall, promo code RATPACK works at all those sites. 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Also at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Follow me on there as well if you dare. All right. I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the Pod Friday coming at you tomorrow. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.